Ways to Go Beyond and Why They Work by Rupert Sheldrake. Chapter 4, Episode 10, the last one. Religious arguments against psychedelics and advice when you do take drugs. Some followers of traditional religions are opposed to the use of psychedelics for at least four reasons. The first is that these substances are illegal, but the situation is changing. Now that the ritual use of ayahuasca and peyote is legal in some parts of the world, the illegality argument is only applicable in some places, not everywhere. Second, psychedelics can be harmful to some people. For children and for some people with mental health problems, psychedelic experiences are indeed inadvisable. But their effects in a ritual context and when used over long periods of time are matters for research rather than speculation. There have already been several studies of members of psychedelic churches. One such study in urban and rural settings in Brazil concluded, overall, the ritual use of ayahuasca does not appear to be associated with the deleterious psychosocial effects typically caused by other drugs of abuse. A study in Spain compared regular users of ayahuasca in the context of psychedelic churches with regular practitioners of other religions. The ayahuasca users had lower scores on all psychopathology measures and higher scores on the spiritual orientation inventory, the purpose of life test, and the psychosocial well-being test. In a follow-up study a year later, the researchers wrote, "We found no evidence of psychological maladjustment, mental health deterioration, or cognitive impairment in the ayahuasca-using group." Third objection. Using drugs is spiritually cheating, trying to take a shortcut to visionary and mystical experiences. But other practices can also lead to visionary experiences, including fasting, sleep deprivation, and long periods spent in darkness. Are these forms of cheating too? Or are they more valuable because they take more effort? Then what about spontaneous mystical experiences, which seem to take no effort at all, but happen as a gift or a blessing? It is hard to put forward an argument that validates some kinds of mystical experience, but invalidates others on the basis of effort. And fourth objection is taking psychedelics is an entertainment, like going to the cinema or enhancing celebrations. These drugs can make people happy. They can also make them feel they are having cosmic insights. But what good do these experiences do? How do they affect the life of the person who experiences them and the lives of those around them? Unless these experiences change people's lives for the better, they are not helping their spiritual development. They are not spiritual developments, but just trips. This argument may be true for some people, but for others, psychedelic experiences seem to provide spiritual openings and change their lives for the better. Now, here are two practices with mind-altering substances. I cannot advocate breaking laws that prohibit the possession and use of cannabis and psychedelics. However, I suggest the following practices for people who live in places where the use of these drugs is legal. First is cannabis in holy places. There are many kinds of holy place, including sacred groves, healing springs, sacred mountains, temples, shrines, cathedrals, and churches. Many people have found that visiting such places after taking cannabis has led to an enhanced sense of connection with the spiritual power of the place and a greater ability to be present within it. I do not recommend this practice for people inexperienced with cannabis, in case they take an inappropriately high dose or become fearful or paranoid. To make this spiritual practice and not just a drug experience, I suggest the following steps. First, treat your journey to the holy place as a pilgrimage. Arrive on foot, even if you only walk the last half mile. Go with the intention of giving thanks and asking for healing, blessing, or inspiration. Second, when you take the cannabis, before arriving, give thanks and ask for your visit to be blessed. Third step, if possible, walk around the place before entering it. In India, it is a standard practice to circumambulate a temple before entering it, walking around it clockwise and in the direction of the sun through the sky. Walking around the holy place has the effect of making that place the centre. In some cultures, like the Bon in Tibet and the Muslims in Mecca, circumambulation goes anti-clockwise, so there is no absolute rule. I myself follow the Indian system and walk clockwise. Next step, when you enter the place, give thanks and open yourself to its power and its blessing. And the final step, before you leave, give thanks for your experiences there, make an offering or donation, and ask for the blessings you have experienced to help you in your own life and help you to help others. And now a section on prayer and psychedelics. If you want to go on a psychedelic journey, treat it as a kind of pilgrimage. Make sure that you do so in a safe place with supportive people around. Do not do it in a chaotic environment or a place you feel unsafe. You are going where you are not always in control. This can be frightening. If you believe in a power greater than yourself, then ask for this power's protection, help, and guidance. If you believe in God, ask for God's protection, help, and guidance. If you only believe in yourself and your own power, then ask your higher self to watch over you. Give thanks for your chance to do this and ask for protection and blessings. If your experience is challenging, again pray for help and protection. And after your journey, give thanks for what you have seen and learned and ask that it will help you and help others. That is the end of the chapter 4, all about psychedelics. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Bye-bye.